Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God, and we're going to talk about the word religion again. We've talked about it before, but I've written another article, which is going up on News with Views shortly. That article is part two of our discussion on religion, and today we look out in the world, and actually I've done four programs this week on this new author, Aslan, who wrote this book, The Zealot, which is, I see a lot of people talking about it. It's all wild in the media. Things have gone viral on interviews with him, supposedly. I believe this is all just orchestrated, partially by Aslan to sell books. But also there is creeping ideas that are coming into existence. I recently heard about laws in Texas that are actually saying that you cannot be hired for a government job if you have ever promoted the traditional idea of marriage, as if somehow or other that excludes you from employment, which is, of course, religious discrimination, because the idea that the traditional view of marriage is not right is the new religion of society. I mean, that is the new politically correct thinking of society. And they don't want to, nobody said you couldn't have jobs before if you wanted to have a gay marriage. I mean, maybe way back in the past that something like that existed, but that was considered bigotry. That was considered discrimination. And so that was removed. But now the very people that wanted that removed are applying that to people who believed in the traditional view of marriage, which is just amazing that people make that leap. And of course, in my journey of being an iconoclast, exposing what other people have accepted as the truth, which is really a lie, I am often accused of doing the exact thing that everybody else is doing. If someone is accusing you of something, especially with a great deal of venom and emotion, it is very likely that they are guilty of the very thing that they are accusing you of. You know, the ad hominem kind of approach, you know, where they start accusing you of ad hominems because you disagree with them. And you want to talk about the issue, but they want to call you names, like, and infer that somehow or other you're calling them names. In reality, you're just saying you're wrong, and that's all you're saying. And they distract from the arguments, the actual discussion. And of course, that's what we see with Mr. Aslan, is that they're distracting from the content of what he is supposedly putting in the book, which is, much of it is just absolutely absurd. You know, the idea that Jesus was a zealot, there were four different groups, political groups, factions at the altar. There were the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and there were the Essenes, and there was the zealots. And of course that particular list, there were others as well, but these are the major lists, were written down and explained by a historian who actually was alive at that time, which was Josephus, and he lists these four sects or groups or political thinking at that time. And if you look at what Jesus taught and what Jesus was doing, and what John the Baptist was doing, none of that lines up with what the zealots were doing, like the Sicarii zealots who were going around stabbing people if they found out they were gay or if they found out that they were violating the Torah. They would sneak up on them in the middle of the night and stab them and gut them. And that was the kind of course, that was the extreme zealot. There were other zealots who were not quite that extreme, but the zealots were not baptizing people. Now, the Pharisees were washing up at the laver before they entered the temple, but the only ones who were really doing this whole baptism in rivers and water, etc., were the Essenes. And, of course, Jesus Christ and John the Baptist were doing that, too. So if you're going to line them up with somebody, you would have to line them up with the Essenes. I'm not saying that Jesus was an Essene. I'm just saying he certainly wasn't a zealot. Nothing. Over and over again, he's talking about forgiveness, and he's talking about being a peacemaker. He does make a reference to he brings a sword. But that sword is a sword of division. He's dividing the goats from the sheep, the wicked from the righteous. He is not following the ways of the zealots. He's not leading his people to the top of Masada after they've gone and annihilated women and children in Jedi, which is why they fled to Masada, was that they had just committed a crime. They were even referred to as robbers. And so the idea that, and, you know, he makes huge leaps in his logic. And we won't go into that because I just, like I said, done 4 shows on that. And those will all be available through the Living Network in the days ahead. But what we were going to talk about today is our modern dilemma of this thinking, moving whole societies over in a particular direction of thinking that is actually kind of scary, you know, because we see anyone who's a good student of history sees that this whole progressive socialist anti-religion, which is what we're seeing, see that religion has been reduced to what you believe, what you think. It used to be how you took care of the needy of your society, but and which we've covered in the previous shows on this, in the first article, that religion was how you fulfilled and performed your duty to God and your fellow man, which would be taking care of the needy of your society. You know, providing justice, providing care when necessary. When somebody really falls on hard times. I'm not talking about the people who are just lazy and don't want to work, but I'm talking about somebody who's really struggling, striving, and things just don't go right, and they need help. And religion was how you took care of those needy, and of course, the religion of Moses, the religion of Abraham, the religion of John the Baptist, the religion of Jesus Christ was all rooted in the foundation of faith, hope, and charity. It was all free will offerings, free will offerings, free will offerings. Now, Jews today, they're all, I mean, even in Israel, they're all signed up with social welfare systems that are not based on free will offerings, but on forced offerings. You can go to jail if you don't pay in to their welfare. And that welfare extends from not only the people that are indigent or, you know, become sick or ill or hard times, but it's everybody. I mean, your public school systems, it's all socialism. It's all welfare. It's all, you know, forcing your neighbor to pay for your child's education at the point of a gun. And that's all accepted today. It's a covetous idea. It's coveting your neighbor's goods. I mean, you're voting to, you know, have a pool put in at the school or to get a new wing put on your hospital or whatever it is. And you're saying, I want to force my neighbors, because we all have one purse now, and I want to force my neighbors to pay for what I want at the school. I want a new art program or whatever it is. And so you up the ante, or you elect men who will up the ante and increase the taxes on your neighbor so that you can have a nicer school. And there's some beautiful schools out there, but it's based on covetousness. And that's all accepted today in Judaism. It's accepted today in Christianity. it's accepted today in even Hinduism, and the Muslims accept it. But Moses didn't accept it. Moses rejected it. He wanted you to live by free will offerings, and you had a better idea. You wanted to elect a king who would exercise authority, even though you were told that if you do this, he's going to take and take and take and take and take and take. And whether you're talking a king or Congress or Sanhedrin, you're creating a form of government that can take away from your neighbor so that you can have what you want, which is your benefits. You know, you're lurking privately cleverly for the blood of your neighbor, because you want to force your neighbor to take care of your social welfare needs. And this is absolutely acceptable in the minds of most people who think they're Christians. They think they're following Christ. They think they believe in Christ. They think they are religious. Well, they are religious. They have the religion of the Pharisees, who thought the same thing, that produced this system of Corban through Herod the Great, that forced the contributions of the people to take care of the needy of their society. And it built a great golden temple. You know, that's where Herod got all his funds. There was no big temple till he built it. And of course, he didn't just build the temple at Jerusalem. He built the temple of Roma also, because he used this. This is a good moneymaker. You got lots of money flowing in when you set up these social welfare systems like that. And this has all been accepted by modern Christians and modern Jews and modern Muslims and modern whatever religion you go into. They think that's okay, but it's coveting your neighbor's goods, and it's absolutely in opposition to what God believes is right. Now, he allows you to create such institutions, just like he allowed you the voice of the people to elect Saul. He allowed the voice of the people to elect FDR. He allowed the voice of the people to elect LBJ. He allowed whoever your president or your prime minister is today, he allows you to elect that guy. And we should expect that guy will eventually take and take and take and take and take. And he'll get us involved in land wars in Asia and in the Middle East. And thousands of our children sons will be put in harm's way, and now even our daughters in harm's way, because their daughters are now in the military, and you know they'll be exposed to Agent Orange and then DU, and if you don't, that's depleted uranium, and they'll come back sick and ill and dying, and you'll just keep going to church singing, and you'll think, hey, I got Jesus. And I'm saved. But you're actually one of those workers of iniquity that Christ talked about, and you have rejected God, and you don't want to have anything to do with God, but you got your religion. You got what you think religion is, because your real religion is run through the social welfare offices in England, Australia, Canada, whatever it is. Where men who exercise authority one over the other collect money from your neighbor so that you can have benefits. And the funny thing is, I guess it's not really that funny, I guess it's tragic, absolutely tragic, is that all these systems are bankrupt today. You know, New Zealand, Australia, they're all bankrupt. The United States is bankrupt. Social Security is bankrupt. But they're still out there applying for benefits. And so who's paying for it if they don't have any money? Well, they're borrowing it from your children and your grandchildren, see? So you're cursing. It used to be considered a curse. Debt was a curse. And so every time you take one of those benefits, you're cursing your children and your grandchildren and your neighbor's grandchildren, because they're going to have to pay that back. You know, you're worried about the Congress not balancing the budget. Well, you're not balancing your budget. You're depending now. Now, you know, I understand a lot of old people out there, and they're going to say, oh, well, you know, I have to give up my Social Security. I didn't say you had to give it up. I'm just telling you what's happening. I'm just telling you what's going on. I don't want you to starve to death. You're in Egypt. You know, welcome to Egypt. you're back in bondage. And they're still giving you benefits. And if you don't have some, many of you, if you don't have those benefits, I know a pastor who doesn't need to take his Social Security, but his kids are insisting that he takes it. Because they owe it to you. Who owes it to them? They don't owe you anything. You're still going to them and applying to them to take away from your children and your grandchildren. But his children and his grandchildren don't mind, because they know that your children, your grandchildren are going to help their children pay this back. And they also are just ignorant. They don't understand how the system works. They think, well, you paid into it, you have a right to take out. But there is nothing there to take out. So they're taking out of the pockets of their children and their grandchildren. And they're all skipping down this primrose path, the yellow brick road to destruction. And they don't even get it. They don't get it. And why? Because the pastors are ignorant of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're not preaching the gospel. They're preaching what you think saves you. You know, if you think a thought, you think the right thought, and you say the right magic words, you're saved. You're saved by what you think and what you say, not what you do, you see, because they remove what you do. It's not important. And of course, you're not saved by what you do, but what you do is evidence of whether you actually believe, you actually have faith in the real Christ. Because there's a lot of fake Christs out there that they talk about that aren't the real Christ. And see, what the real Christ was doing was setting up a social welfare system based on love. That simple. That was the religion of Christ. He wasn't a zealot. He was someone who believed in the revolutionary idea that you could take care of one another out of love. And you didn't need to force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. That's a revolutionary. Most people don't believe that's possible. Most people who think they're Christians today don't think that's possible. But that's the religion of Jesus Christ. That's the religion of John the Baptist. John the Baptist is really a great example. And there was no better man, according to Jesus, than John the Baptist. And he was saying, you know, if your neighbor had a need, share. I mean, that's really simple. It's not complicated. But that's not how you take care of the needs. You take care of the needs of your society by applying to men who exercise authority, one over the other. And Christ said it wasn't to be that way with you. So if it is that way with you, you're not following Christ. That was one of the interesting things. Mr. Aslan, he says he's a follower of Christ. No, he's not. He's not. He doesn't even know. He's not. He probably thinks he's a follower of Christ. He's a progressive socialist. You know, and he's supported by progressive socialists, you know. But he's just an example. I don't want to pick on the poor guy. He's just as delusional as most of you out there who think you believe in Jesus and are praying at the altars of men who exercise authority one over the other so that you can have free education and free health care and free benefits and all that stuff. And I know some of you say, I don't want those things. I don't want to be a part of that Babylonic system. But that doesn't make you a follower of Christ. See, that's the amazing thing. It doesn't make you a follower of Christ. It making you a follower of Christ is that you're creating the system that Christ was creating, the system that John the Baptist was creating. You see, when they got baptized, they were cast out of that system of Herod. We know that from the quotes in John about the parents of the blind man. And you can go look it up. But they were cast out of that system. So they had to have another system in place. And we see them talking about it right away with Acts, a daily ministration of what? Of religion. Of how we take care of the needy of our society. It's being neglected. Why? Because we're not organized. We're not working together. You know, we're starting a new course here shortly. It's only for people who are on the Living Network. So you can go to thelivingnetwork.org. And I've put documents that we wrote many years ago, took to Washington, D.C., and we had some of the top legal minds in the United States. You know, it cost us tens of thousands of dollars out of pocket to have this all reviewed by some of these top people, because this we discovered what the early church was doing, and we said, well, is this legal to do today? How was Christ setting men free? Because the church established by Christ is still around. It's just kind of invisible because all these other fake churches that are up there that you're going to on Sunday and Sabbath that aren't really preaching what Jesus preached or what Moses preached or what Abraham preaches. You know, this is radical stuff. I'm sorry, but you guys are delusional. And this is why you're in the dilemma that you're in. But anyway, we took that and we're going to start this course shortly. And you can only take the course, the beginnings of the course. And the course is going to be expounded upon and built upon. And we'll have a regular educational system. We have other websites besides hisholychurch.org. And we have people standing by ready to help guide you through all this and show you for free. You know, we don't have the $2,000 a head seminars or the $200 a head seminars or the $2 a head seminars. We actually are working on faith, hope, and charity basis. So you don't have to pay anything, but you can't take the course unless you're part of the Living Network, because you're going to need help in overcoming some of the delusions that you have, you know. And we're getting good at it. We're real iconoclasts. We come in there and we smash those delusions, and we've done our homework. So we're going to be sharing a lot of that information on that course. So it'll be up to you as to whether you want to join us at thelivingnetwork.org and join the network and be a part of that. But anyway, in this article that I've got coming out on News with Views, which is a real iconoclastic article, and tells you that, you know, religionists don't, and anti-religionists and non-religionists don't understand the word religion as it was used in the Bible, don't understand the religion, the word, as it was used in the Constitution. You know, and when we read in Amendment 1, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for the redress of grievance. What government? Now, there's a word. In Article 3, in Part 3, we're going to address this word government. Because you say the government, you think, well, that's the United States government or the state government or the county government. No, it's not. It's whatever is governing you. And although for the United States Constitution and the government that it created, the Constitution was the supreme law of the land. It was the branch on which the United States was built. But there are other branches out there. There are other forms of government. These are multi-jurisdictional areas in the world today. And even more so, and this is one of the amazing things, you know, at the time of Rome, you could be a member of almost any government throughout Rome, the Roman Pax Romana. And you would actually get an ID card, a titulus, from your government that says, I'm with this government. I'm with that government. And they mentioned the church had such a ID. And they called it the Logos. That's right. It's actually mentioned in the Justinian codes. So if you were a Christian, you could show this Logos. But there was something else that was going on at that time. And from time to time, and this caused persecution, is they were outlawing foreign religions. Now, they just recently did this in Egypt. And we'll tell you more about how they did that when we get back after the break. But we have to watch it. Every time we use words like religion, what definition are we applying to that religion, that word? What you're used to thinking, see, you're going to keep slipping back into thinking that religion is what I think. And it's not. It's religion is the performance of your duty to God and your fellow man. That's what it was at the time of the Constitution, and we'll tell you more about that when we come back.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
So welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. I said that I would show you how foreign religions have been outlawed in Egypt, and this is a pattern you're going to see all over the place, and it's going to be bringing in huge persecutions, and you're not ready for those persecutions because you haven't been doing what Christ said. Even though many of you should not line up with those persecutions, we're seeing, and we mentioned at the beginning of the show how they're passing laws that if you once promoted the traditional definition of religion, which is not just traditional, it's been the definition of religion for thousands of years, which is one man, one woman. If you actually think something that crazy, you can't get a job in Texas. At least that's the intent. You're not going to be allowed to work as an employee in a government office in Texas. It's amazing, you know. Aren't they thinking at all? Well, of course they're not thinking at all. They're zombies. They don't think. Zombies don't think. They just go about devouring who they will. And this is the spirit that you see growing up in the beast today, is to go around and devour who they will. I mean, they claim they want rights. They have rights and all. They need protection, but they have no intention of protecting anybody else's rights. They have every intention of destroying. You know, they're full of hate and anger. These are the kinds of people who bring bags of feces and urine to a debate on abortion. They're not interested in reason or rights. They're interested in power. The spirit is there. You know, they shout you down. They scream at you. They lie. They do all these things. And they're going to do those things. But what is your defense against that? You have to be willing to see the truth, the whole truth, and prepare for it. And this, of course, is what John the Baptist was doing and what Jesus Christ was teaching, what the apostles were establishing through faith, is the alternative. This is what the church was. It was the alternative. You know, so we should not fear and out of fear gather together. But we need to understand that there is something to be afraid of, but only if we will not repent and turn around and go the way that Christ actually said to go, which the churches today are not doing. They're just, you know, skipping down their yellow brick road. And they think they're saved. But they are actually workers of iniquity. Anyway, Christ talks about that many people would think that they're saved, and think that they're doing things in the name of Christ, and they're actually workers of iniquity. So why are we so surprised? It's just a little discomfortable or uncomfortable for us to admit that we're one of those delusional guys. But those of you who have it in your heart to realize that love is really love, and it is not force, and the kingdom of heaven doesn't operate by force, it's established by love, what's the big deal? Okay, so you've been deceived. It's only by the grace of God that you're even going to begin to wake up now. And when we offer you to be a part of this living network, the livingnetwork.org, and we offer you to be a part of that, it's just an offer. You don't have to. You can just keep on going down the yellow brick road. But if you want to change, you want to turn around, we understand you're going to need some help. You're going to need some, you know, extra education, some extra time. And we got people now who want to spend that time. They actually care about you as much as they care about themselves. And they want to do that more. And they want to teach you how to do that so that you can help them teach others. So that's all we're doing. We're not starting a new religion. We're getting back to the religion that Christ was talking about. Back to the religion that was actually fairly prominent in America 250 years ago. It had to be, because life was so hard at times. If you didn't have that religion, you died. And of course, that's going to be the separation of the goats and the sheep in the future, is that if you don't get the religion of Christ, you're going to die. And your children are going to die, and it's going to be horrible. And I'm sorry. I can't stop the tide from coming in. What I'm trying to do is teach you how to walk on water, which is follow the ways of Christ. So, in the article I write, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. And that's what we have to do. But we have to be diligent. We have to strive. We have to seek to follow the ways of Christ by seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The kingdom of God is the right to be ruled by God. And you're not going to get that right unless you actually take back those responsibilities. So anyway, I also quote, someone suggested that I quote in the article, something you actually hear on several of the stations that I'm heard on, and I hear it in their commercials. It says, it's actually quoting President John F. Kennedy at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel back in April 27, 1961. And he says, without debate, Without criticism, no administration, no country can succeed. No republic can survive. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. And of course it is a crime. I don't want anybody passing a law like that. But the reality is that if you shrink, if you hide, if you are timid, if you bury your talents in the ground, you're committing a crime and you will be punished. I don't have to make a law to punish you. You will be punished because of your neglect. And Christ points this out with his story of the guys with the 3 denarii, 2 denarii, and 1 denarii. And the guy with the 1 just buried it. And it was taken from him and given to another. And the one that had the 3 was given many more. So what are you doing with what you got? You need to turn around and do things different. But I want you to understand this idea of these duties that is pure religion. This duty that is pure religion is how you take care of your needy. So this is what the church should be doing. It's what it used to be doing, is taking care of the needy. And there are lots of great ways to do that and organize yourselves and still remain a free church. And this is what we talk about in the book, Free Church Report. But like I said, in this new course, we're going to be filling in some of the blanks that are actually only referenced in the footnotes. And we're only going to be doing that for those people who belong to the Living Network. And actually, in the future, we're going to be opening more information up to those people who are actually forming congregations of record and are actually taking care of one another, at least a little bit. You know, like we admit you have to do baby steps. You know, you can't just jump from one system to the other. But if you just don't want to be a part of the world system, that is not going to cut it. You have to be a part of Christ's system, which is a very free place to be because it operates by the perfect law of liberty. Cecil B. DeMille, I quote him again in the article, are men the property of the state or are they free souls under God? This battle continues throughout the world today, and it does. And of course, the answer in most cases is that men are the property of the state. They are human resources, and they are actually owned like they were in the bondage of Egypt. So we have to do what Moses was doing, which is what John the Baptist was preaching, which is what Christ established in order to get out of Egypt, is that we have to return to the ways of caring for one another, taking care of one another, without those government benefits. And that's not going to be a cold turkey thing yet for most people. It's going to be turning around and seeking this other way of operating by faith, hope, and charity. And that's what your churches should be doing. And they should be doing that in a lot of different ways. And they're not. They're actually singing you to sleep. They're lulling you into a false salvation where you are not doing the will of God. You're not doers of the word. And you're actually hearers only, and you don't even hear it very clearly, and you're not following Christ. Just like that Mr. Aslan. He's not following Christ. And we go into the fact that this word faith used to be defined as probity, which is good faith is the very soul of contracts. The faith also signifies the confidence, belief, and full faith and credit ought to be given to the acts of those who have the right to judge. And those that used to have the right to judge in America were the juries. They don't anymore. Because really, juries require freemen, and there are no freemen. And I know there's a lot of guys out there claiming to be freemen, but you really, I really haven't ever met somebody who was really a freeman. That may not be entirely true. There have been a few people wandering around that I've met, you know, who never was a part of any system. And they, you know, they're in their 40s. They actually have been living in between the cracks for a long time. And there are some young people that are not a part of the system, but we've all been tainted by this sin of looking to men to provide us with the benefits of society by force. Well, there are very few of us that have ever not been a part of that in any way whatsoever. But that's okay, because Christ has provided a way. But you have to actually follow that way, walk in that way. And so this probity, that faith used to be defined as probity, is defined as justice, honesty. A man of probity is one who loves justice and honesty and who dislikes the contrary. And so he's going to be somebody who cares about your rights as much as he cares about his own. And he's going to be working diligently, striving diligently to protect your rights in every aspect. And that's not what I see out there in many of the patriot movements and freedom movements and sovereignty movements. I see guys out there interested in being free, not in protecting anybody else's freedom. And in order to do that, one of the evidences of that is that you actually start practicing pure religion. You start taking care of the needy of your society, unspotted by the world, not depending upon the gifts, gratuities, and benefits of the world. And the word world there, of course, is constitutional order or system of government. It's not the world that might mean planet or the word that might mean age. It means the word that means government. So you're going to become self-governed, self-providing these benefits. And this is what the Living Network and our congregations of record is simply free assemblies. Free assemblies, not associations or any of those things, where people actually come together and try to work together to be independent and not be a burden to their neighbor. You know, that's what we're promoting here. We're not promoting anything anti-government. Every homeschooler who still pays their taxes, their property taxes, and even if you're renting, you're paying property tax, that goes to finance the schools, is doing those schools a favor, because their children aren't taking up space. It allows them to educate their or brainwash the state children, if we can use that word, brainwash instead of educate, with less expense, because you've taken back the responsibility of educating your children. Now, they're not going to like that. Eventually, they're going to try to outlaw that entirely, as they have in many countries already, because they don't want to have parallel societies. But that's what Christ was teaching us, a parallel society. So you need to get on the boat with that right away. And I know a lot of you made me think that you can't homeschool your children. But if you were in congregations of people that cared about your children as much as their own, you could help each other and you could homeschool your children, you see. You could become health, education, and welfare. You could become the FEMA of your society. We use that word FEMA all the time, but for us, it means Faith Emergency Ministry Auxiliary. And that's what the church was. And so that's what you have to get back to. And that's pure religion. Undefiled before God is to be taking care of those needs of your society through faith, hope, and charity. And I don't care if you were a Jew or a Muslim or a Hindu or whatever. That's where you're coming from. If you want to follow Christ, that's what you have to do. You have to start taking care, you know, if your neighbor has a need, you have to fulfill that need through faith, hope, and charity. That's it. That's it. That's as simple as that. That's religion. That's pure religion. Now, there's another religion that's not pure religion, that's actually wicked religion, and that's where you take care of those needs through force. And this divides you between the goats and the sheep, between the followers of Christ and the followers of John the Baptist, and even the followers of Moses and Abraham and the rest of the world. So this is it. That's it. That's simple. But it's not so simple to do, because it actually requires you to do a little soul searching and sacrificing. It needs you to learn how to dance with a community. And that's going to require forgiveness and patience and all these other golden virtues that we're in such short supply of. But practice makes perfect. So, you know, that's what religion was, is the performance, the practice of taking care of the needy of your society. And you guys are really out of practice, so you're going to have to do a lot of turning around to go the other way. So in any case, this idea that faith is belief without evidence in what is told by one who speaks without knowledge of things without parallel is really the actual word-by-word definition of the devil, because it's right out of the devil's dictionary. Did you know the devil had a dictionary? It was published originally in 1911. But they say belief is without evidence, but really, the faith, if faith is the duty, the performance of your duty to God and your fellow man, then faith is the evidence. In other words, the performance of your duty to God and your fellow man is the evidence that you believe in Christ. You see? See, if you change faith to mean what you think, then it becomes invisible. But faith is not invisible. Faith is visible. It is the fruits of your faith that we're looking for. And the fruits of your faith is the fact that you are actually taking care of the needy of your society. Now, I know many of you who go to these regular churches that are preaching a false gospel. And it's usually a handful of people in every church are like this. They're real doers. I mean, they show up to help. They show up every time there's an event. They work. They care about other people. They hear about people needing help. They'll go out and build their chicken coop, or they'll bring extra food, and they'll share, and they always want to share. That's kingdom tracks. Those are the Christians. The rest of these guys are just going along for the ride. You know, first ones to show up at mealtime, and the first ones to leave when it's time to do the dishes. Those aren't Christians. They don't have much of Christ in them. Christ was actually, he probably washed the dishes. We know he washed the feet, and that was supposed to be even a dirtier job than washing the dishes. And he's showing you that this is the nature of the church and the nature of the kingdom of heaven. Now, we'll see ministers do the feet washing ceremony, but they take pride in their humility. It's kind of defeating the purpose if you're going to take pride in your humility. But, you know, I don't want to pick on everybody, but I am an iconoclast, so I have to give you a hard time. But those of you who want to turn around and really want to go the other way and are starting to go the other way, you need to actually act upon what you're beginning to understand. And I know I repeat myself on some of these things, but I'm always bringing in some additional information so that you begin to understand. And because there's not very many people out there who are actually teaching it like it is. You know, if you read Black's Law Dictionary, 5th edition, page 208, assess to equate trust. What the heck is that? Assess to equate trust. That's actually kind of French reference there, which is just going back to the original Latin. He who has a right to a beneficial interest in and out of an estate, the legal title to which is vested in another. Okay, somebody has the beneficial interest in a thing, a part of an estate, and you have the legal title. So the beneficial interest is actually belongs to the one holding equitable title. And it says later in that definition, the person who possesses the equitable right to property and receives the profits and benefits of the estate. But the legal title and possession, as well as the duty of defending the same, reside in another, which you can find on page 1353. Okay, what they're talking about is where you're at today. You have a legal title to your house, you have a legal title to your car, you have a legal title to your labor, you have a legal title to your children, a legal right to your children. You always talk about legal rights, my legal rights. Well, in accessory quay trust, you have the legal title, but you don't have the beneficial interest. In other words, somebody else is entitled to the profits of your house the profits of your business, the profits of owning your car, the beneficial interest. Somebody else has the power over that. And that, of course, is why you have to pay property tax. If you don't pay the property tax, they take the property away from you because you don't own it. You have legal title. Legal title, by definition, does not include the beneficial interest. And we show you this in the book Covenants of the Gods and Law versus Legal. This is not a secret. It's not like there wasn't full disclosure. It's in the dictionary. Black's third, Black's fourth, Black's fifth, Black's sixth. It's been published for years and years. There's thousands and thousands of copies of this all over the United States and all over the world. Legal title doesn't include the beneficial interest. So when you buy the legal title to something, you don't own it. The one holding the equitable title owns it. And that, in this case, is supposedly the state. But the state's bankrupt, so somebody else owns the state. So they own the beneficial interest. It's held as collateral. So therefore, in order to live in your house, you have to pay the debts, the beneficial interest. You see, in the kingdom of God, you own your land. You own the beneficial interest. But you're not there. You've left that. You know, it's kind of like Elvis has left the building. You have left the kingdom of God and gone like Cain, whoring after the city-state. And in the city-state, you don't own the beneficial interest of your land, your labor, your children. They belong to the state. This is how far you've gone while you were singing in your churches. You're back in the bondage of Egypt, worse than it was in Egypt. Worse. And your preachers aren't telling you that. They're saying, oh, you're saved because you think a thought. But you're not. You're workers of iniquity. You've gone whoring after the ways of Babylon, the ways of Nimrod, and the benefits of Nimrod. And you've sold yourself. You become the Nicolaitans, which God hates. The conquered people, conquered by your own lust, your own covetousness, just like Peter said. Through covetousness, they would make merchandise of you. You know, this is the way it is. You know, faith is trust. You've put everything in a trust. You didn't understand how it was working, but then again, you didn't really want to get educated. You went to public schools. You know, that's where you went. You know, and according to the law of nature and nature's God, the first absolute duty of an individual toward others is to do injury to no man. And where this might have happened, to make good the damages. Well, the fact is you injure your neighbor all the time. You force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. In a covetous system that is not cast up. So now you have to repent of that. And of course, that's what we're going to talk about in the next show. Is how you repent of that. And how you can turn this whole thing around. Because Moses did it, Christ did it, and if you follow their ways, you can be a part of doing it too. Of course, it's going to take a miracle, but we'll show you how that works next time on Keys of the Kingdom. Peace on your house. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net. Thank you.